Ricardo.
All right, everyone, welcome to a brand new edition of the Swift Kicks podcast. I'm Alex, and with me, as always, are Ben and Steve. Before we get started, I'd like to ask you guys to please like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Share it with anybody who loves the beautiful game. Let's get started. Man City won the Careless Cup for the fourth time in a row, I should say. Ryan Mason's managerial career at Tottenham is already in question. Can he win the big games? On another note, the fans were back in the stands at Wembley, and it was pretty awesome to see that. It's Super League forever. Florentino Perez says teams involved in the now-defunct league can't leave. Meanwhile, in the Premiership, Chelsea are in control of fourth and the final Champions League spot. Steve Bruce has been kidnapped. It's the only way to explain Newcastle's run of form lately. A big point at Anfield is Super Former League team Liverpool struggled at home. Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry have been included in the Premier League Hall of Fame, and there's a few more candidates we're going to go through. All that plus our granddaddy's Zlatan maybe facing a 3-year ban from football, totally ending his career forever. But Steve, I'm going to start with you. Should we just give the Carabao Cup automatically to Man City at this point? 4 years in a row. Feels like they should just play, and if anybody beats them, they get it next year.
Quick interjection. I was traveling in places where there was absolutely no cell service. So the world of football, and really just the world in general, the past 3-4 days, I am oblivious to. But from that intro, what I gathered was the European Super League is basically the mob, is what you're telling me. Yes. Florentino Perez says, if you're in, you can't get out.
Yeah.
you signed that pact. You're in.
That's basically what he said. A binding contract.
That's what I gathered. Okay, cool. All right, got it.
Do you know what Steve's travel plans and the Carabao Cup have in common?
No one cares.
Exactly. Nobody cares.
Beat you to it. Yeah.
Well played, Steve.
We're learning.
Can't beat him, join him.
Right. In terms of the Careless Cup, I mean, I was curious. In terms of this one, I was curious on how 29-year-old Ryan Mason. I was curious on how this this big game would go for him, and now that we know, let's just keep giving him to City. now that we've determined that.
What a first game to coach, by the way.
Right.
All right, guys, you're going to start on Saturday. It's a final. Yeah, we know what we're asking you to do. You never stood a chance. It's okay. You were never going to win that game.
I wish I cared more about
why would you keep Mourinho just for that game?
You
could have kept them for like 4 more days and been like, all right, now you're fired. Yeah, but instead, they kept him. Yeah, whatever.
They were debating on when they wanted. Well, maybe Jose Mourinho himself didn't care.
Tottenham's payroll was hitting in an awkward time, so it was now like a month later, so it was the right time to do it. But
Hold on. What's our next fixture? Yeah, I'm out. Not now.
I don't feel like playing City. Speaking of City, I feel like we've had this conversation a little bit before, but once again, I mean, during the Careless Cup, they looked like a team. They were playing really well. It was probably the biggest 1-0 victory ever, if you can go that way. It was totally a dredging of Tottenham on the pitch. But Man City, again, just kind of looking like they have nobody who's like a real true finisher for them. Aguero on the way out. Jesus doesn't look great. Raheem Sterling's in a poor run of form. You know, where are they right now? Especially like coming up midweek, they're going to be playing some Champions League, looking to get into the final. I'm thinking of like Liverpool had Salah, still has him, obviously, but Bayern Munich has Lewandowski. Like right now, Man City doesn't seem to have that clinical finisher right now. Ben, what do you make of that?
I just need to make a statement. At this date, the 26th of April, Manchester United are conceding the Premier League.
Conceding.
Now is the time. Mid-sentence.
The special spokesperson.
Spoiler alert, the Premier League's over. Man City have won.
Okay. Just throwing that out. Despite having no clinical finisher.
Right. It's time to hang up the towel. Clearly, they can finish. Just because finishing looks different to them and size doesn't matter in Man City. They're pulling off big things. Their midfielders are their finishers. It's slightly different approach, bold approach, as Cotton would say.
And it's paying off. To it.
Man City have no problems at all, like period. Okay. You can't get into the place they've been in year after year with somewhat, rotating door and positions. you know, what's wild to me is they have, is it, who's on their bench? Is it Sterling?
Yeah.
He's done nothing. He was going to be a Where Are They Now, but he's still at the same club. So I just ruled him out. But like, he hasn't done anything. You know what I mean? They have strikers. They've got people on the bench that are great finishers. It's just they haven't needed to play that style of football, and it's paying off for them. I think today is the day that I say it. Manchester City have won it, despite not being able to finish.
All right. Well, on the flip side of Manchester, Bruno Fernandes has scored just once in the last 10 games for Man United. Is there a problem with him? Are you guys having an issue up top?
No, I think that's the return of Paul Pogba and Mason Greenwood finding some form. I think Pogba takes a little bit of the load off of Bruno Fernandes' kind of workload, if you will.
Right.
Like, Pogba's return remain consistent, even though Bruno Fernandes isn't scoring them himself.
Say that again.
Has the goal output remained constant, even though Bruno Fernandes isn't necessarily the one putting them in?
I'd actually say there's been an uptick because of it. And I do think it's because of Pogba. And I know your thoughts on Pogba, but he seems to be getting the most out of some players that are slightly more in the developmental stages, like your Mason Greenwoods, if you will, putting them in, you know, positions where they can finish. Greenwood's been pretty dynamic in the box. The other thing to think about as well is Bruno Fernandes is really Manchester United's PK taker. They haven't been winning as many PKs, and that's where the goals are coming from. For me, the knock on Fernandes isn't necessarily a knock, but it's more along the lines of his assists are also down, and he was really putting in a lot of points from assists. And I think that's just because you have someone like, you know, Paul Pogba as your other half in the center of the park. I don't think it's a knock. I think even this weekend, you know, against Leeds, they rested Pogba and they looked a little bit slow, but in fairness, they're resting up for AC Milan in Europe this Thursday. And I think that's really a priority for them right now. It was kind of a stretch to catch Man City. I'm not saying they weren't trying to win, but when your outside backs are consistently your best players on the team, like in terms of effort, you're never going to be a top level team.
You heard it here first, folks, you Premier League fantasy football players. Bruno Fernandes might want to rethink his involvement in the starting lineup. Ain't going to get you a whole lot of points at this point.
It depends, though. It depends if Pogba's playing. Because truly, like, Pogba, you know, love him or hate him, has his moments where he can create some dynamic football. And if he's on the field with him, Fernandes has less to do with the buildup. He's definitely involved, but you have two people to worry about. And, you know, if they're over marking Fernandes, Pogba's getting the ball with space.
Okay.
Kind of buy it. I mean, let's talk to...
Did you say I don't buy it?
No, I said I kind of buy it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I deny your reality and substitute my own.
It's the same timeline, though. It's the exact same timeline as Paul Pogba coming back and Fernandes going out. And it's not that Fernandes is out, but Pogba's been back in the lineup for 10 games. Right. Fernandes's production's gone down for those whole 10 games.
I mean, he did score a penalty against, Granada.
It's a penalty, though. Right, like, that's just it. It's the same thing. I have a knock on Harry Kane for his performance in England last World Cup. Like, if you take out penalties,
golden boot,
is it really that big of a deal? Like, would you still be doing that without the PKs? Probably not. And that's honestly, that's probably a critical assessment of both Harry Kane and Bruno Fernandes. Yeah. But like, for me, if you're the penalty taker and they, you got to make sure you, it's like an asterisk, right? It's like Liverpool's only Premier League win. There's an asterisk next to it. Yeah. It doesn't fully make sense to me. You know, switching topics a little bit, guys, the Toon Army, have they dodged a bullet? What do we think?
Like I said, I think Steve Bruce has to have been kidnapped. There's no explanation for what's going on the past four games. That or Steve Bruce just really likes to believe himself as an undefeated manager. And as soon as he labeled himself as such, he's had to have carried that on in order to save face. And I'm here for it. But frankly, I mean, as a fan, it's been wildly enjoyable to actually watch the team, like, put in effort game in and game out. Even when we were down against Liverpool, you know, we kept fighting, and it took us till like the 94th minute to come through. And even after having a ridiculous handball called, quote unquote handball called, for Callum Wilson's goal to be disallowed,
Run us through it for those who didn't see it.
So
me.
Yeah. Okay. So 1-0 Liverpool. Liverpool, to their credit, I think attacked pretty well, and our keeper saved us a lot. But in about the 92nd minute, ball comes through. Callum Wilson's running on goal. Two defenders behind him. I believe one of them was Trent Alexander-Arnold. Pushed Callum Wilson from behind. The ball came off of Wilson's foot, hit the keeper's forearm, bounced back. Callum Wilson had his arm tucked in, just normal running stance, hit his shoulder, and VAR, of course, called that as a handball and did not see the fact.
A goal was scored from that?
Yep, and a goal was scored from that, and that was disallowed because they called it for handball, but they did not call the fact that he was pushed from behind by two players on Liverpool for a PK.
Yeah, I've been saying that about VAR this whole time. It doesn't correct the no calls. It only corrects like situations. Like it doesn't take into account the circumstances of things.
Yeah.
The worst is it's manned by someone. So someone is watching the same game as you and it's like, actually, and I'm going to call this person the world's biggest nerd. So if you're listening, VAR guy, you need to get off, just quit. You should quit your job because everyone hates you. And the truth of it is
nerd.
He's watching it and he's like, you know what? I think he was
nerd
3.9 millimeters offsides. And you know, we'd just be in the crowd. What a nerd. What a loser. Like, get a life. But like, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And yes, it should have been a goal. I will say, you guys, Newcastle was so unlucky to concede in the third minute. And I was like, here comes a 10-0 pounding.
Yeah.
And no, the best part though, is I had other interests in the game. I'll let you think what that means to you later. But basically I turned it off in the 90th minute and was like, oh, I hate Newcastle. I cannot stand Newcastle. Just when I think they're good.
Wait, was this you?
All they got to do is draw and they're fine. I hate them. Rage quit the game, walked away, was grumpy. Like 4 hours later, I saw they equalized. I was like, what?
Yep,
love Newcastle.
Another goal from Joe Willock. Like, I mean, we need to be signing him up. I mean, I think he's only £20 million they want for him from Arsenal. Like, sign that kid up now. He's 20, 21 years old. Puts in the effort every time he comes on. Like, build a team around this guy. Like, he wants to play. Like, him and Alan St. Maximum, like, let's get this going together. I mean, Steve Bruce, the Messiah, if he's going to play like this, if he's going to coach like this, maybe he's found tactics. Maybe he's found God. I don't know what it is, but keep it up. And next season looks bright. Yeah.
I just want to let you know, I figured it out. So a couple of weeks ago, we shared that Steve Bruce took some time to himself to really.
It was the 9 days off.
And in that time, he read the book, The Secret, and discovered the power of positivity. Okay. And since then, he's been saying we're undefeated and it's working. So if you guys are ever in a slump, I highly recommend the Secret. Steve Bruce is living proof that if you're just positive, it will work out.
Yeah.
You could file this into the folder of gossip, per se. I saw this on a
carry on
while waiting in the airport today. I was listening to another podcast. I won't name which one, but they were discussing briefly the failed Newcastle takeover.
Yeah.
And what they were saying was that I don't know how these ties are established, so don't even ask me to explain it. This is just what I heard. One of the reasons, or a big reason of why the takeover was unsuccessful was that Daniel Levy, who is CEO, I believe, or basically running the show at Tottenham, knew that that takeover could have usurped his position in the that European Super League.
Yep.
So they threw every trick in the book to try and get that to not go through. And that was successful. Have you guys heard anything about that by chance?
Haven't heard anything about it, but it goes back to what we were talking about last week where Amanda Staveley, that I believe she's Norwegian or Swedish, the woman that was involved with the consortium trying to buy them came out and basically said that there's a cartel within the Premier League, within the top six. And, you know, it could have been any one of those names. It could have been more than Levy at Tottenham. You know, it could have been the Glazers at Man United that felt very threatened by basically a team all of a sudden becoming sort of one of the richest commodities in the world, sporting teams in the world.
Another quick question. Now that we've had a week week and some change to reflect on this European Super League and the nuclear fallout that has happened since. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, Alex, on Newcastle having unsuccessfully been taken over?
Yeah, so
are you against it?
My thoughts are that it would have probably fully changed the club. It would have taken it away from like the actual history of what the club is. I do think that a British millionaire, billionaire, whatever, even a consortium of some sort would have been a better investor. I know that there's, you know, all sorts of reasons that people didn't want the Saudis involved with everything. Frankly, that didn't quite bother me maybe as much as it should, but
I mean, hindsight's 2020.
Of course, right. Yeah. But when I was reading everything and from some of the accounts that I followed from people that were involved in the private investment fund and everything like that, I did not get the sense that they were going to sort of fundamentally change the club and fundamentally drive us into positions where we would have been part of like a super league or something like that. It genuinely felt like they wanted to come in, frankly, use it as a play toy, you know, see it as their, you know, way of rolling the dice and playing marbles and whatever with human lives. But I don't think that they would have come in and radically changed the club as a whole, but it would have changed the fabric of the club, I think, overall, underneath.
In a sentence statement, mm-hmm. do you wish it would they would have been taken over, or do you not wish, or do you wish that we continue on
it's
the way
a yes or no question, Alex. Stop dodging the question.
Yes, I wish they would have been taken over because I think Mike Ashley is destroying the soul of the club.
You heard it here first. Alex does not believe the Newcastle culture is worth upholding when they should be bought out essentially immediately.
I mean, and obviously, I mean, we talk about like the Saudi takeover. I mean, the City Group who have taken over Man City. I mean, many people could argue that that has been a not just successful in terms of silverware and just running of the club, but even the people of Manchester. I mean, they've invested in housing units in the area of Manchester. They have brought up a lot. There has been the poor of Manchester have benefited from that takeover.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's been a lot of good. There's been a lot of community intervention and enrichment from that group.
All joking aside, I think money poured into Newcastle would do wonders because Newcastle being the like lone team in a city is really going to make them dominant. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to be the thing. You already have the community backing. Right. You just got to show what the reinvestment would bring. I mean, we don't need more sports directs in Newcastle, do we?
No.
Like, we need to get, you know, a little bit more grassroots soccer probably, but even Newcastle is a pretty good academy. But I think to your point, Al, like, to kind of back you, I think any club that is in a position like Newcastle should take a buyout essentially immediately because it's going to guarantee some longevity in the Premier League and hopefully bring some good fortune into the club. Do you know what I mean? Like we kind of knock on these teams that do it. There are right ways to do it.
Right.
Leicester City, right? Leicester were bought out. You know, international owners came in.
I don't
know
when that happened, but yeah. Right. I mean, that's all like a Thai family.
But right. But like the whole thing was, you know, they got bought out. There was reinvestment there and it saw them go in the right direction. You got Jamie Vardy. You can't get any more English than that. Steering the boat on it. You know what I mean? Like they did a good job of maintaining that sense of home pride whilst innovating and bringing them to the 21st century.
Yeah. Leicester was bought in 2010 when they were in the championship.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, something like that, you know, and I think when it comes down to it, I mean, how much can you gauge how much somebody's going to, you know, pour their heart and soul and really figure out what a club is all about and what it means to a city. But as Ben was pointing to, you know, Newcastle being the only team in a city, you know, you can't mess it up. You know, there's everybody in that town will hate you kind of deal. And I mean, that's Mike Ashley has figured that out, I think, pretty quickly. And he's really just trying to find, I guess, the right buyer and somebody that the Premier League apparently will accept. But hopefully with everything that was exposed through the Super League, you know, maybe some of this process will be easier for him going forward. You know, he'll find somebody that'll be have an easier path to taking over. But I want it to be, like I said, I want it to be bought out from Mike Ashley because I think Ashley is destroying the soul of the club, not just simply because he's not produced any results or anything like that, but because he's just turned the club into like, yeah, we're always like the most profitable club usually, but you know, it's not just about the balance sheet from time to time, you know, the fans, the players, everybody should be expecting to be of high effort all the time.
Right.
Just putting a shift in for, you know, the everyday man that does watch Newcastle right. United. I think there's still that core fan base that I think needs to be played to.
I'm not a Newcastle fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that probably the Mike Ashley reign has given Newcastle fan taking away Newcastle's fans. They know that they're not aiming for anything. Mm-hmm. They know that they're not playing really for anything. So it's almost like, what's to support if the administration isn't even like showing signs of ambition or even doing anything, isn't investing? Like, what are we even here for?
Yep.
Yep. Besides like to exist.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of how it's felt over the past, especially past probably 5 years. We're just kind of existing, you know, trying to survive within the Premier League ecosystem.
And like, you can't do that. It's not sustainable. I mean, surely that's not sustainable. I mean, at some point, the fallout is going to become too great, you would imagine, from fans to the club. That relationship will break or will crumble too much. But
yep,
I could be wrong. Unique, I could be wrong.
What's unique about the Newcastle opportunity is not only are they the only club, they have a very distinct brand. You know what I mean? There's only a couple teams that rock the black and white stripes like Newcastle do. So like there's an opportunity for whoever comes in to really help establish that brand, play on how unique it is and make it, I don't want to say relevant again, but you know what I mean? It will sell.
Yeah.
You just got to get it out there and get it moving. Yeah. In other club buyout news, did you guys hear who has dipped their toes in the water of trying to purchase Manchester United?
No, who? LeBron Conor James, McGregor. Liverpool. Oh, for real?
No.
Oh, I did see that.
Conor McGregor has raised a little bit of an interest in it. And then if we could get Floyd Mayweather back in the Magpies office, we could talk about some interesting PR there. But you know what? I would almost rather some business people going in and trying to run a club than potentially Conor McGregor, right?
Like, think that wouldn't get
that's
you excited.
Just as scary as everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
There's more buyout news too from Arsenal. The owner of Spotify, Daniel Ek, along with Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp, Patrick Vieira, are apparently working together to buy the club from the Kroenke family, take over from them, which would be interesting. Really, really interesting, I think.
One last thing I want to talk about Newcastle. The one thing I would be sad about if they did get taken over, I would almost ensure that you have a feeling that the name of the park would change. And I have some, I have feelings towards clubs that can stick with, that don't conform with like sponsor names, like American Express Stadium. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Highbury used to be Highbury and now it's what, the Emirates now?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Like, so
that you would think St. James Park would change and that'd be a sad thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, they tried that once under Ashley. He changed it to like Sports Direct Park at St. James's Park or something like that. But he did it very cleverly. He got like all the backlash, and within a week, he changed it to St. James's Park. And St. James's Park, basically, the club had to pay him to buy back the rights of the name. So some crazy deal that he did within himself. But
that alone shows the lack of.
Exactly. That's something that I don't want from any sort of new manager. Like that should almost be a clause. Like we will not change the name.
Super League. Right. It's like the Super League clubs that are getting thrown out being like, all right, the fans, you guys got to pay us this contract.
Yeah.
This is how much it costs. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Do you guys see that they're talking about Rangers and Celtic joining the Prem?
I saw the thoughts of a British Super League in the aftermath. Again, the fallout that's happened since the European Super League, there's been more revitalized interest in a British Super League. And I think if you're not a fan of the Super League, you can't be a fan of a British Super League. There's no way.
Right.
There's no way that the revenue generating giants of Celtic and the other team, there's no way that those guys can leave Scotland and just leave that to crumble upon itself up in the north. There's you can't do that. So as awesome as it sounds on paper, it's the same thing with the Super League. Oh, we want to see these fixtures every week, week in, week out. We can't, you can't go contradicting yourself a week later. I think they have to stay. That's my say.
So interesting, a couple of former Super League teams, you know, Liverpool, like I said, just if it wasn't for a ludicrous handball ruling, they probably would have lost to Newcastle and been in pretty terrible shape. But even Jurgen Klopp saying, you know, he seems to have some long-term solutions he thinks in his mind that are fine. But right now, you know, they are basically playing for their lives to even show that they deserve to be in the Champions League. And right now they're not in that position. Also, I think that we need to revisit our target dates for when Mikel Arteta will be kicked out of Arsenal, losing to Everton. They're not going to get European football via the Premier League this year. So it all comes down to their Europa League with Villarreal. And, you know, oh, and Villarreal, by the way, is coached by Unai Emery, his predecessor. You know, if he doesn't get into Europe, is Arteta got to be out the door? Especially if there's changes coming with a new Spotify owner, you know, Thierry Henry, Bergkamp, Vieira. You know, why not make them the three people in charge and go from there?
It's so strange because
we gave him till Christmas next year.
It's strange because you just like you can get a feeling for like what the climate's like in terms of like a job, a manager's job security. Mm-hmm. And even with the position, the dire straits that Arsenal see themselves in now, I don't hear many people calling for Arteta.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, not really. Frankly, he's the one like kind of going out saying I'm open for other jobs.
Christmas next year. I think I'll still stick with Christmas. I think I'm still going to stick with Christmas. If it's not Christmas, I would say maybe like on the near side of Christmas, about a month. And then that's about as far as I would go with that one.
Okay. So like if they don't make Europe this year, but they're playing well next season, they've got to be in a top six position. Otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way. I just think for some reason, I think him being the understudy to Pep,
yeah,
I think that's even holding more weight for him than him being a player personally at Arsenal. I think the title of being Pep's understudy holds an immense amount of weight and merit to it. And I think that Arsenal are riding that out. I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know why. I didn't expect it to hold as much weight as it did, but I do think that is saving his job at the moment.
Right.
So I think had he came from somewhere else, he'd not be there.
I think Arteta's got to go. I don't think he's been able to pull it off. I don't think he has a clue what he's doing. And I think it's showing through as he takes a good team with like the likes of Ozil, who he's just driven out of the club. You know what I mean? Like he drove out their good player. Mm. And to me, it's a mismanagement situation. I think he's over his head.
Hmm. Where would you put him in then?
I don't like him. I don't know if it's
Mikel Arteta to Newcastle.
No, no.
I trash him right
Steve
now.
Steve Bruce any for coach, life. Right.
Any coach that has the audacity to tell like a big club, you know, I'd be interested in that job while you are losing, is just on a different planet. Like, is an absolute space cadet, does not belong in the top of the leagues. Nonetheless, driving like the Bentleys of leagues, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Of teams, like it's a good team, a lot of history there, and he kind of just spit on it. To me, that should ruin his career.
I also want to say too that Mikel Arteta doesn't, well, except for that little thing that Ben just mentioned, omitting that, he has not been digging himself a hole like Jose Mourinho does. You know what I mean? Like when things are going bad and they're not getting results, instead of pointing at his players and blaming the players, Mikel Arteta is very professional. He is very good with the media.
Yeah.
Very well composed and well spoken. And I think it's, even though the house is on fire, he still somehow has a calming effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but like to your point with Jose Mourinho, you were getting that. And at least he's being honest. You know what I mean? With this guy,
I agree. I just don't think they maybe like the honesty.
Yeah, that's a problem. Right. We've got thicker skin in England, I guess.
The game's gone soft.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of old players who weren't so soft, Alan Shearer, Thierry Henry, first inductees into this new Premier League Hall of Fame. I'm going to go through. There's apparently 23 other names, like a short list for the Hall of Fame that we, the fans, can decide who joins
I just
them.
Saw this today as well.
And I mean, frankly, I was reading them all and I was like, I mean, maybe like three of them I wouldn't put in, but let's go through them. Tony Adams, Steven Gerrard, David Beckham, Roy Keane, Dennis Bergkamp, Frank Lampard, Sol Campbell, Eric Cantona, Matt Letizier, Michael Owen, Andy Cole, Ashley Cole, Peter Schmeichel, Paul Scholes, Didier Drogba, Les and Rio Ferdinand, Robbie Fowler, Robin Van Persie, I'm almost done, Nemanja Vidic, Patrick Vieira, and Ian Wright. Among those, any that you can think of that you wouldn't include?
I thought David Beckham was a strange one, personally.
What?
Really?
Okay. Oh, let's just hear me out, United fan. I just thought I don't have like somebody who I would instantly think of replacing him with, but when I saw that list, the first name that stood out to me as like a was David Beckham.
How?
Interesting. Just didn't think that. I mean, besides like the treble winning season and all that, I mean, he was there till 2003. I don't know his statistics, so I could just be completely out of pocket here, but I don't know how much more he contributed besides that, besides like brand and appeal and like all of that.
Dude, that's like, why he got kicked out of United. That was him. Like when the brand and like his fame got right. to him and right. became this huge thing, Fergie moved him out quick. Like Fergie did not play with that. Right. He got rid of him.
David
Beckham took every set piece for that Man United. Like 97, 98, 99, 2000, right. 2001. He right. was everything for that team. He had great supporting cast around him. But like not anyone else on that list has more accolades than him.
What? Not anybody on that list has more accolades.
Name someone than him? On that list that has more hardware in his cabinet than David Beckham.
Oh, hold on. Let me go back to this, the old list here.
The one person that stood out to me, Matt Letizier, doesn't really make sense. Also, after Michael Owen's performance at Newcastle, I think he should never be involved in anything.
Have you seen some of the goals that Matt Letizier has scored for Southampton? You've seen some of those highlights?
Yeah.
They are the most audacious and outrageous goals that I think I've ever seen. Some of those. Honestly,
yeah.
Take a look at him. If you have listeners, if you have not heard of Matt Letizier from Southampton, yeah, they're gonna be like in a honey. They look like they're gonna be filmed on like potatoes and all that. 144p on YouTube, but just squint and tilt your head a little bit and just watch at the genius that is Matt Letizier.
Can you spell Letizier for me?
Yeah. Well, Matt, then L-E space. T-I-S-S-I-E-R.
Boom.
We'll play. Boom. So David Beckham, in 265 appearances for Manchester United, had 62 goals and 80 assists. So if
How many games?
260. Okay. 265. So he scored or contributed to a goal in 53% of the games he played in for Manchester United.
It's decent. Giggs isn't going to do that because his goal contribution definitely, you know, obviously pitted.
You know what frustrated me about Giggs is there is no denying that he was probably one of the best left midfielders of our time.
Yeah.
The fact that a professional footballer could have such a one-footed style of play to me drove me crazy as a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Good, like, man. You're right. But growing up, you're like, all right, I got to learn how to use both feet. Got to use both feet. And then this one guy, this pleb, running down the wing, only using his left foot consistently. Nuts.
Right foot's nuts. Just for standing on.
Yeah.
I don't want to say he's a one-trick pony, but you found he got good at that one thing, and he got so good at that, even though everyone else, it's like Messi. It's like, you know, the left-footed shot coming from Messi. Or dribble it, you had Messi going to be on the right wing and cutting in on his left. You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen before the game's even started. You still can't stop it.
Is Michael Owen that good, Alex?
No. Everybody will remember him for the 98 World Cup and his emergence onto the scene and that game against Argentina and that goal. And then after that, I mean, he had
downhill.
Yeah, he had a pretty good time at Liverpool. He went to Real Madrid.
Injuries were mismanaged.
Yeah, he showed himself to be just a true, like, just immature kind of dude. And then when he came over to Newcastle, he had no ambition, no reason to be there other than money. And the fans saw right through him. And dead to me. I thought he was going to be, like, a great, you know, ambassador for English football. And he just turned out to be somebody that just does not belong in that list anywhere.
I think him and Chicharito have a lot in common in their styles of football.
Chicharito's more effective, though. I mean, yeah. I think Michael Owen's a bit faster in his day than Chicharito, I suppose.
Chicharito's pretty quick, man. And, like, they're both known for those scrappy goals inside the 18 of just, you know, quick breakaways. But I will say that Michael Owen hamstring tear was one of the worst.
Yeah. Do you ever see the video of when he played against, like, an 8-year-old? And he was, like, scoring on him and everything, and he was celebrating like it was, like, the Champions League final.
That's the same height.
That's my memory of Michael Owen. That's exactly what I think of. So looking at that list, if you had to have, let's say, the top three players to make the Premier League Hall of Fame, who would you choose?
I got to go last. I don't have a list in front of me.
Okay. I mean, Alan Shearer's got to be on it. He's a top goal scorer there. In the Premier League.
He's already right. In.
Oh, so on top of these two?
Yeah, that's of the 23 name top, short list. Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was naming my top three out of that list. No. Okay. So top three who didn't make it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going even, I mean, going based on 100% on Premier League career, not anything that's happened off the pitch. I'm going, Ryan Giggs is in my one of my top three.
Okay.
Do you put Jamie Vardy in there?
No.
That sounds extreme, but in the top 23, and then the three that didn't make it.
Dude, this list is straight fire.
I agree. Awesome. I'm just trying to think of.
All right, you think in internal, because I'm just going to go down this list for a second. First off, Vidic has no business being on here. Mike Owen has no business being on here. And this is going to be unpopular. Ian Wright probably shouldn't be on here. Maybe Les Ferdinand doesn't belong on here.
I was thinking Les Ferdinand, maybe. I'd take Ian Wright over Ferdinand.
I don't think is that great either, and I'm a United fan. Matt Letizier, I agree with you guys. But for me, the top three on here that haven't been mentioned are Peter Schmeichel, hands down the best keeper of our lifetime.
He's on that list.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry.
I would go Schmeichel, Scholes, and... It depends on the position. You know, I'm going to pick more than I want. I'm sorry, get over it. I take Scholes, Sol Campbell, Eric Cantona, and Peter Schmeichel.
Sol Campbell?
Sol Campbell is unreal at center back.
Yeah.
Like, before his time, he was an absolute unit. Like, he was giant for starters. Right. He was on a very good Arsenal side. You know, Tony Adams is not far from him. Why can't we just pick all these guys and maybe kick John Terry off just because he's a fan?
It's difficult for me because although I'm familiar with my knowledge of football is in terms of like firsthand experience comes from like 2006 onwards. So like obviously I'm familiar with, you know, Sol Campbell, the Invincibles, you know, Blackburn and Alan Shearer and what have you not, but it's difficult for me to gauge that era compared to the era that I was a part of just because I wasn't a part of that one. So it's difficult for me to be able to hear you say Sol Campbell.
Yeah. I'm going to take a wild guess here and say Steve's not going to choose Steven Gerrard in his top three.
That's like picking your ex-girlfriend as
you
like,
said, admire that guy.
You know what this looks like to me that I'm looking at these nominees for the first time? Yeah. This is like everything I ever wanted to find in a PowerPod pack. Right. You know what I'm talking about, Alex?
Yeah.
Like you always open them up and you end up with someone like Stubbs and you're like, oh God, it's like the 13th time I've got this guy. And people are like, well, we just trade him. No one wants Stubbs, right? I want Robbie Fowler. Like, give me Robbie Fowler's PowerPod.
Right.
So for those of you that don't know PowerPod, there were like these little eggs you'd get. You'd open them up, and inside's a little footballer. There was like a little like figurine of your favorite footballers, or in my case, 11 Stubbs. I remember Stubbs' first name at this point in my life.
Dude, I say just put all these guys on. Ashley Cole is unreal. And like doesn't really get the credit that he deserves. And Dennis Bergkamp, can't say enough about him. Vidic, I'd throw off here because he really wasn't that hot, you know?
Yeah.
But I think Vidic is on there because Rio Ferdinand's on there. They had like one of the most dominant pairings in center back in Premier League era. I mean,
that's a good point.
Yep.
Andy Cole's on here, man. That's crazy.
Again, just before I came into the frame. It
was amazing in the late 90s. This whole thing is like so hard to think about. Like I'm even looking at like Robbie Fowler and I'm like, you know.
Do you put David Silva in there?
Nope. He's not welcome.
Have you seen some of David Silva's numbers though?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
He's not Vincent Kompany?
Aguero has to eventually be on this list. Kompany's
still. Yeah, I think you got to be out of the league for at least 10 years. I'm making that up, but that's the rule.
That seems about right. Looking at this list, that seems fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although Gerrard and Lampard, not so much. Maybe five.
Robbie Fowler. Here's something you can't get away with today. Robbie Fowler once got like a one-game
I know exactly where we're going with this one.
Scoring a goal and snorting the touchline like it was cocaine. Like, and we think football's gone soft. Come on.
Did he play with Fernando Torres?
Yeah, he did.
I think he did. I mean, that had to be the highlight of his career.
I know.
I think he was out that maybe.
Maybe. Let's look up Robbie Fowler.
I've never – I can't recall Robbie Fowler in an Adidas Liverpool kit. He was in the Reebok one.
I'm just saying, Tony Adams looks like the guy that comes from the pub to the football pitch. Yes. Like he was definitely smoking a butt, drinking a Red Bull pregame. Like they had to get rid of smoking indoors after Tony Adams retired.
Should we put Santiago Munoz in here?
No. Mm. This is a very elite club of footballers that made my childhood. Plus, Matt Letizia.
Did he win any silverware with Southampton? Because he has to be on this list because of, I'm assuming because of silverware that he's won, not so just because he scores worldies.
I'm looking at the Budweiser official nominations, and he is clearly the wettest player on this. Like, the dude looks like he just took a shower, and he's like on the field. Everyone else is like.
Letizia is another one of those guys that look like he just came straight from the pub.
Yeah, they couldn't get a better picture of this guy. Like.
He definitely looks. Matt Letizia doesn't even look like a footballer. He just.
Yeah, he looks like a math teacher.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking at this list. If I had to choose three, I'm going Andy Cole, Dennis Bergkamp, Robin van Persie.
You're a terrible human being.
Robin van Persie's in the top three.
Yeah.
Peter Schmeichel is better than every single person on this list. Debatably better than Henry and Shearer. And I'm aware of what I'm saying and who I'm saying it to. Schmeichel is hands down the greatest keeper of all time.
The trash takes are later, Ben. Come on.
This is a question based on opinion, but Alex, I have to say I think you're wrong.
Okay. Idiot. Stupid idiot.
There's no wrong answers, but yours is
right. There's no wrong answer.
Unless it's you. And then it's wrong.
I'm still trying to find this list, and I'm struggling.
Here.
Go to Twitter or Google.
23-man Premier League.
What did that come up with the autofill for you?
There you go,
NBA. come on, scroll down. Okay.
Steve, you see the list? I got it up.
I got it. Oh, you're right. He did play. Robbie Fowler did play with Fernando Torres. He is in Liverpool, or he's in a Adidas kit right here. So
yeah, I think he got like really pissed when Fernando Torres went over to Chelsea.
This is difficult because there's people that there's people that I admire more on this list than others, but I'm trying to put that out of my head and go up based on performances. I think this list can't be, this top three can't be complete without Alan Shearer. Alan Shearer has to be somewhere in my top three, just based on having the goal scoring record. And that still has held up over this time. So,
oh yeah, of course. I'm saying from this 23 name shortlist, if you, the fan, had to vote for any three people on this list, who would be those three?
He's getting my vote based on that. He still holds that title.
So he's going to be voted in again. because he's already in.
I guess I'm misunderstanding the question.
Steve, Henri and Shearer are automatically in. We don't have to include them on this list. Yeah. We have to go forward with these guys to find three more.
Okay, so Thierry Henry and Alan Shearer are two of your top five. Who's the rest of the top three?
Got it. Okay. I look at Roy Keane, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to gauge that one because it's not necessarily based off of numbers. Like what goal contributions was he having or like clean sheets or things like that. It doesn't necessarily translate in that. But the on-pitch presence and the on-pitch effect that he had, I think the Premier League has not seen since. And the trophies that United won during that time show for that. Controversial, 100%, but the definition of win at all costs,
yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, he's an absolute leader on the field.
So, and so he's up in there. He's there. I honestly look at Frank Lampard as well. Frank Lampard is third on the all-time scoring list of the Premier League, and he's a midfielder. Played his entire career as a midfielder, and he's third on that scoring list.
You take penalties for 20 years. That's what happened.
Still impressive. Still impressive to me.
He's always been a spooner. Will always be a spooner.
So Roy Keane, I'm probably looking at Lamps as well. And we'll go. Schmeichel's one of those top three. No, he's not. Never mind. Sorry. Yeah, I go with Schmeichel.
You have to put him in. There's no other keeper on here.
Yeah, that's another good point. Right. That is another good point.
And not being funny, I think Cantona was probably up there with Henri and Shearer to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? Like stats wise, minus the drop kicking the fan thing. But if anything, that was teaching good morals and ethics to the fan. The
game's gone soft. Yeah, game's
gone right? Soft. Like, it used to be like a front row warning. You may get kicked in the face by Eric Cantona if you talk crap to him. It's hard to pick out of these guys.
It's so tough, especially if you weren't in my case, not present for a lot of these players, like playing careers. And your only interaction with them was like on YouTube. Yeah. Is difficult on some of these guys. But yeah, that's my list. Ashley Cole's a good shout though.
You know what's weird? How do we have Liverpool on here with so little hardware? Mm-hmm. But also, if you include Shearer in this conversation, right? How did Newcastle have two players on this list? You know what I mean? Like, never won any hardware.
Yeah, but they got so close. They got to so many finals. That's their thing, is they got to so many finals and they just bottled it.
Also, Shearer won titles at Blackburn.
Yeah.
So him being on that list and that goal scoring accolade comes from his career also at Blackburn as well. So I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
That kind of brings him up there. looking.
Is there anyone Patrick missing Vieira go list? Over to Tottenham? Oh no, he no, nearly did. No. That's right. He nearly did. Right. There was a rumor that he nearly did. I think what I saw was that Manchester United had 10 players on this list out of 23.
Wow. Pretty good. I mean, that was the era. I mean, the Premier League era.
Of course,
era.
Yes.
United have dominated so much of that.
RVP is what was on Arsenal.
And if we're going off of Ben's rule of you have to be out of the Premier League for 10 years to be able to make the list, I mean, that basically puts us all of United's dominant period. So yeah.
100%.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Patrice Evra belongs on this list.
Patrice Evra?
Should I love this list? Game.
If we're saying Patrice Evra, then we can start making cases for like Jisung Park and stuff, man.
No, we can't. There's a very big disparity between Evra and Jisung Park. Like, come on, dude. Don't discredit Evra.
I don't know.
Discredit Jisung Park.
I don't have anything positive to add to this conversation at this point in time. So we're going to swiftly transition. You guys see that, you remember that, Lukaku and Ibrahimovic got into a bit of a fight. I know Alex teased out something that's on the edge of my seat waiting to hear because I don't know about it yet. Turns out that they fined Ibrahimovic 7,000 pounds. And in the time that you have been listening to this podcast, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has been paid 1,361 pounds. So in, you know, six more of these, he will have paid his fine. So Zlatan Ibrahimovic makes 300,000 pounds a week, and a 7,000 pound fine for anything is just such a laugh. You know what I mean? Like, all right, we're going to fine you 4 hours of work at that rate. If you guys ever want to see that, how that works, there's this website called whatfootballersearn.com. And on there, it will tell you how much the person has made since you opened the webpage. It's pretty cool. So that being said,
what you're saying is we should be asking Zlatan Ibrahimovic to be funding Steve's Beer Fund.
Yes, you might be able to move up from Beer 30 to Miller Lite, Miller High Life.
Milwaukee's worst too.
We've been barking up the wrong tree. Got it. Okay. We'll refocus our aims.
So let's get to that Zlatan story. Granddaddy Zlatan may have to retire early. Apparently he's in hot water with UEFA. They have launched a disciplinary investigation into the Swedish star's alleged financial interest in a betting company. It's called Bet Hard, based in Malta. And apparently Zlatan owns a 10% stake in this company through one of his own companies. And because of that, you know, UEFA's regulations state that all players should not have any financial interests in any betting at all. And if he's found guilty of violating whatever rule and clause that this is, he is facing up to a 3-year ban in football entirely, which, you know, for a 39-year-old ultimately ends your career. So granddaddy Zlatan getting himself in trouble.
Holy smokes. Yeah, he's done. That's
3-year ban.
You're not getting out of that. You own 10% of a betting company. There's no chance. It's not like he can go to a court and fight it and be like, actually, I don't own it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you either do or you don't there. Is it connected to Lord Bentner's betting agency?
I don't believe it is.
That's unreal, the punishment that comes from something like that. So it sounded like, because I had seen that similar article, it's like you said, Zlatan owns a company, and that company within the past few years had taken up that 10% stake in this betting company. So how much of this comes across Zlatan's desk on a day-to-day basis? Yeah. We can comment on that, but he could not even have been aware of it. But what's crazy is that this could potentially be a 3-year ban because it involves finances in football, but things like racism in football, it's like just not even like just the punishments are so one-sided. It's just, it stumps me.
I think the punishment makes sense. I'm not going to sit here and say that the way football is handling racism in the game is anywhere near appropriate. Right. But what I'm trying to say is, like, dude, that's how you fix matches. Like, that is such a slippery slope to go down. You know what I mean? You have a vested interest in the outcome of your games. I think if he could prove that he has, like, just money in it, he might be able to get himself out of it. And if it truly is just, slid across his desk. But 10% ownership of a betting company, I feel like you were savvy enough to know that you don't touch that with a stick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it wasn't like an innocent amount of shares in it. 10% is not a small amount in a company like that. Yeah. The only thing I will say, like, online betting is such a new thing. Hopefully they have some sort of workaround, but like you said, Alex, at this point in his career, it's a death sentence. He's done.
So,
you know, I was gonna say you could see a year plus an appeal and then him getting back in, but that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. I want to talk to you guys about Big Sam. Looks like West Brom's going down. Yeah. Looks like it ain't happening, Chief.
Big Sam's a failure.
Do you think Sam Allardyce is going to stay and go down into the championship with them? Last time he was there was in 2012.
You think Sam, he's up for the challenge? Listen to me clearly. If you quit now, you can still hold that record. If you quit now, you can still say you've never managed a club that went down because you didn't see this one through.
He's desperately searching for dirt on like owners of clubs being involved in betting companies right now.
He's just scrolling on monster.com because he's not heard of LinkedIn or like Indeed yet, because that's how dated he is.
He's reading the paper.
He's reading the paper.
The local primary school's hiring.
Right. You'd be a great teacher. All right, kids, you can get your grades up from it. You should be a tutor.
I'm just throwing this out there. Brighton have such a hard end of the season. They got Man City, West Ham, Arsenal. I don't know if he can win a game or two. How many points off from them are they?
I think it's 7. Oh, is it 9 now? Wow. Yeah, because they tied. Yeah, they tied. It was a messy game, and they tied.
Dude, he could pull it off. Just throwing it out there. I still have hope. It's not over yet. Brighton could still bottom out, but you fool them to kind of lose with them.
Yeah. So looking up at the top real quick, we talked about Chelsea being in fourth place right now, kind of in the driver's seat, 3 points clear of West Ham in fifth place. But I feel like you have to look a little further down. Everton have that game in hand, could be tied on points with Chelsea right now if they won both their games. Is it too much to say Everton can leapfrog from eighth place to fourth and leave everyone else behind?
No, West Ham,
Liverpool, Tottenham.
They could only go to fifth. It's a one game in hand. 3 points, 52, add 3, carry the 1, gets you to 55 points. Chelsea are at 58.
Yeah.
But they are definitely in striking distance. They're definitely not in eighth place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're in contention for Europe for sure. It's crazy how few points are between really Chelsea, West Ham, Liverpool, Tottenham, Everton, and really Aston Villa. Because Aston Villa have a game in hand too. So it could be you got like 7 teams in the running for fourth place.
Yeah, it's amazing. Speaking of tight races, let's go over to La Liga. Atletico Madrid, 2 points ahead of Real Madrid and Barcelona, who are tied. So Atletico has 73 and Real and Barca have 71. Crazy, crazy finish coming up to that league.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have like turned off all notifications surrounding like Real Madrid with the European Super League, but from that fallout. But I mean, given the any fans of these teams, absolutely. I mean, it's just always just fun to see nail biters coming to the conclusion of a season when things aren't wrapped up and decided like over in the Prem.
Right.
So seeing something like this where there's still contests to be played for, healthy competition is always fun to see on from any viewpoint, 100%. Yep. Who do you think is going to take it, though? That's the question. I personally do think Real Madrid will take it.
Barcelona got a game in hand. They win that game in hand. They're in 74th. We got 74 points in first place.
I think these guys. All right,
I'm going with Atletico then. Look,
we'll see. We'll see who comes out on top then. I guess.
I think Valencia is going to make a hell of a comeback in 14th place and get back in the mix. Do you guys see? I was trolling some people this week on the Swift Kicks page about Messi going over to the Prem. Basically, they were bragging about how many goals he'd score on ESPN. So I responded to something of the sort as I'd score that many goals too. I was over in La Liga, and then it took a bunch of knocks on Bruno Fernandes, which meant that individual went through my page, went found who I supported, and targeted Manchester United. So good on that boring person. but really, they had some good points of, you know, Messi scored, 800 goals or something stupid like that now over in a Barcelona jersey. It's unreal. I want to see him come to the Prem. And I think if he wins La Liga, he's not going anywhere. So I kind of hope they stay where they are.
Did you block that person?
No. I'm hoping they're listening right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to tag him in the post of the new podcast and let him know that.
Nice, yes.
Because he's a nobody.
Yes.
And you're a nobody. And you're
well, we appreciate you listening.
That's all I got. Ish. You're probably going to turn him off right around now. Rage quit. And he's good.
And he's gone. There he goes.
Yep.
Him and his family. No longer listeners.
Yeah. And we've gone down from a few to a few less.
Yep.
And guys, are you guys ready to talk about where are they now?
I am ready.
Briefly, I wanted to talk discuss
Steve
north of the border, north of the border, and discuss how, really just emphasize how difficult the quadruple treble is. And you know why?
Steven Gerrard, first loss of the season. Rangers, right. Cup conundrums.
in the Scottish FA Cup, which we fell out to at the hands of Rangers at Ibrox, they lost to St. Johnstone, also at Ibrox. 1-1, it went to, so the Rangers had scored in 117th minute, and then St. Johnstone scored in the 120th minute, and then it went to pens, and St. Johnstone go through. And so that we, the title doesn't go from our hands to Rangers' hands, which is nice, but it's especially with all of the talk that's been in Scotland this season about how dominant they've been throughout the whole season. Obviously, you know, them losing one of their first games, if not their first game of the season just then. It highlights how immensely difficult it is to win numerous trophies in one season. I mean, you have the Careless Cup in City doing the Prem, but they couldn't wrap up. What was the other one? The FA Cup. They went out at that. I forget to who. Was it Leicester that knocked them out? Or anyway, it just shows how immensely difficult that is, and that the quadruple treble, which is not only Celtic. So I'll say it again. Not only Celtic winning every domestic trophy in that season, but they did it consecutively for four seasons in a row, won every single domestic trophy. And I don't think that you will ever see that being done again in our lifetime, surely. And I just, I think that it is something worth mentioning.
Yeah.
And also in the absence of Celtic appointing a manager yet, I wanted to talk about something more positive.
Yeah. It was Chelsea that knocked Man City out. Chelsea and Leicester City are in the FA Cup final.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. What is it? I saw a stat that Steven Gerrard, he has lost six times in domestic competition since taking over in 2018 at Rangers. Kind of interesting little side stat, you know, with all the success that they have been having in the league over this season, you know, there is still, I guess, scarily, Steve, some room for growth.
Can't win them all, Stevie. Sorry, pal. Yeah,
can't win them all. So, who do you think is going to win the Scottish Cup, though?
The Scottish. So, in the next fixture that was after that, this just goes to the competitiveness of football and what we love about it is that. The next fixture was Kilmarnock versus St. Mirren. That game goes 3-3. So it's a thriller in its own.
Yeah.
And then that also goes to pens with St. Mirren going through. And these are the quarterfinal fixtures going through.
So just a little note on that. I just looked at this. It was 2-2 and then it went to overtime. And the two goals that made it 3-3 were both penalties as well. It was amazing.
How fun would that have been to watch had you been supporting either one of those sides, even just a football fan in general, you know?
Yeah, that's a good game.
Absolutely. Awesome. And it just shows that it's, I mean, yeah, Celtic and Rangers do win, have won. Well, Celtic's won more titles than Rangers, but you get what I'm saying. Over the history of the Premiership, especially within the past 30 years, it's been dominant from these two sides. But I think Scottish football gets a lot of slack for being not on the same caliber as the Prem, but there's still good football to be had in Scotland.
So. Yeah,
it's good football everywhere.
Yeah, good point. Good
it's
point.
Not the MLS.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
quick check on that. MLS news going on right now. Austin FC won their first home game, so good for them. Well done.
It's all right, all right, all right.
That's right. And that's your MLS news check brought to you by Carabo, because anything they do, nobody cares about. Ben, please take us away to where are they now?
Where are we going? We don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
Gentlemen.
With the scores being Alex 3, me 2, and Ben with 1 last week.
You want to crack open that mud water thing that you're drinking over there? All right, yep.
It's off. Finished.
Lads, our footballer today that we will be discussing has a net worth of 100 $1 million, I guess. But more importantly, this individual, yeah, who cares, is a Virgo and was born in the year of the rat. This retired footballer is still involved in the game, but he's not a manager.
Did they play in the Prem?
Never.
They play in the MLS?
Also never.
Okay. Never Nigerian?
Yeah. let's just set this straight here. Are they or are they not a Nigerian player?
They are European.
Okay. European, never played in the Prem. Did they?
This individual spent a majority of his career in Italy.
That's okay. Mm. Okay.
And a little bit of a hint, he is still involved in Italian soccer, but not a manager.
Did this guy play for the Italian national team?
He did not. He's not Italian.
Okay. Has he won? No, I'm still thinking.
He's won a Ballon d'Or.
Wow. Okay.
Ooh.
But interesting. He's never won a World Cup.
Is this Kaká?
Nope.
Oh, you're European. I'm sorry.
Correct. He was placed on UEFA's Team of the Year in 2003, 4, 5, and then again.
Pavel Nedved.
Yes. You've got it.
Wow.
Yes.
We've got the jersey on. And
yes.
I didn't even have to say with his golden locks. Dynamite player, one of the best of the early 2000s, in my opinion. Very underrated Czech Republican player, played left wing up top, very dangerous around the box. I don't know many left wingers that were better than him. I was cleaning a closet today, found his jersey and was like, that there, where are they now? So that's how we ended up here today.
Does that jersey have Nedved on the back of it?
Yeah.
Nice. I wasn't looking at the video. Nice.
You weren't looking at my eyes. Okay.
I don't remember Juventus being sponsored by, who was that? Was that Sky? I don't remember that sponsor, but
yeah, I think Sky Sports did their whole season for like 2-3 years. It was like right before
2006, 2007,
all before the financial stuff hit.
And then they walked away quickly.
Yep.
Nothing to do with them. Nedved is currently Juventus's vice president. Fun fact.
Interesting.
Don't know how he got involved in that. So he was involved in the implementation of Pirlo. Has recently been out in the public saying Ronaldo and Pirlo are going nowhere this summer. That's who are going to remain with the club. But another fun fact about Nedved is Nedved got a 3-game ban last year because after a game, he went and approached a referee and hurled insults that no news story will cover the actual insults that he gave to the referee, but the referee pretty much pressed charges on it. They won the game. I don't know if they so as an owner, he, or as a VP of the club, he felt so inclined to get involved. He played for Juventus, 247 caps at Juventus, 138 at Lazio before that, Sparta Prague. He was there for 97 caps in 4 years as well. You know, 501 games in his career, 110 goals.
What year did he retire?
2009 was his last season.
2009. Wow. At the age of, how old is he now? Sorry.
I was born in 72.
Okay.
So 48.
So he was like 37, something like that. Yeah, he's about 37 when he retired. Wow.
He was awesome, man. He made it to the UEFA Euros, was it 2004 finals? Did he really carry that team? They were nothing without him.
The Euros, like the internationals tournament? Yeah. No, the final was Greece and Portugal.
Semi-final.
Okay. Gotcha.
They lost to Greece. Yeah. So that's where are they now? Pavel Nedved is right where we left them.
And the score is 3-3 and
3-1.
That one didn't count. I have the jersey on. Doesn't
count.
No.
You can't take this away from me.
You know what's crazy about Nedved is he won like all these things. He made it to a Champions League final in 2003. Didn't get to play. He was suspended for it.
For what reason? Hurling more insults at referees?
I think it was just 2 yellow cards, so he wasn't able to play in it.
For dissent, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of 2 yellow cards, you know the Prem has a ban on more than 10 Premier or game yellow cards by a certain game day. So if you hit the 32 game mark and you have 10 or more, the 10th yellow card gets you a 2-game ban. The 33rd, they eradicate that. So Harry Maguire picked up his 10th yellow card on Sunday against Leeds, and they were saying that that would have been a 2-game ban for Harry Maguire if it wasn't for that. And I think they got like Liverpool coming up soon, which is a pretty good time to transition over to the trash tag.
Wipe that clean slate.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Lucky guy. Played that perfectly.
All right.
Yeah, let's take a look at the fixtures.
Yeah, so let's look ahead.
Before we do that, can I just real quick, you guys give the worst takes of all time. Whoever said the big six are all going to lose is an idiot.
What a silly thing to say.
Yeah, what a stupid, stupid thing to say. But that being said, the rest of the trash takes, the real trash takes, were also terrible. So let's do better, guys. We've got room to improve.
Let's just be better all around.
Yeah. All right. So from Friday, April 30th through Monday, May 3rd, what are you guys looking at? What stands out?
Friday's what day? Sorry.
April 30th. Yeah. Southampton and Leicester on the 30th.
Palace had a good showing against Leicester today. Hmm. That was.
Yeah. Man United, Liverpool. That'll be a 0-0 draw because neither team has anything to play for. And United got AC Milan on Thursday.
Oh, man, it's a Super League matchup.
Roma, not AC Milan. They already beat AC Milan.
It's not necessarily a trash take, but I think Everton will beat Villa.
You're a trash take. It's no burn. Yeah.
Pavel Nedved won a trash take. Got that one.
Nice. That was a good call. Good job, Steve. Yay. Hey, Steve. I don't know, man. Leeds? Brighton. That's kind of a no-brainer.
Leeds should win. I would expect Chelsea to beat Fulham. I'm not getting any strong sixth senses from any of these matches here. What about you guys?
I like West Brom over Wolves, and I like Liverpool over Manchester United. And honestly, Arsenal beating Newcastle is a trash take.
So. I'm eyeing up Sheffield and Tottenham.
Sheffield, I was looking at that as well, honestly.
29-year-old manager, knocked out of his sails, kicked out of a final. Sunday the 2nd.
What a year they're having. 5 wins, 2 draws, 26 losses.
Yeah, morale's low in the Sheffield camp.
It's about they're time due. For Sheffield to win. Sheffield's going to beat Tottenham.
Liverpool's favored over Manchester United.
It's away, too. It's at Old Trafford. That's strange.
Yeah, that's because of the European fixture. Mm. Not being funny, if United are definitely in second place, do you rest your players in the Prem?
Can I back? No. Can you go double or nothing on a trash take?
Sure. Yes.
We'll do West Brom over Wolves as well.
What was your first one?
No. I didn't have.
Oh, someone, God. You're I think Alex had. To him.
Alex had that one, and I would like to also cash in on that one as well, if possible.
All right. I don't blame you. That one makes sense.
Yeah. I don't see West Ham, I would imagine, would beat Burnley. Well, Burnley's kind
of. Alex, you had Sheffield over Tottenham. I think I had West Brom over Wolves.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. And okay.
Steve double backed me on that one. But the million-dollar question is, if you're United and you're in second place, you're not going to get to first place. Do you rest the Premier League players?
Go What's, for European glory. Yeah.
Is it the Europa League that you're chasing?
Yeah, Roma is Thursday.
Yeah, you probably do. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more to play for.
As long as you're in the top four.
Yeah.
I think you're pretty safe in the. Yeah, I feel like you guys could almost lose out. Maybe not lose out, but not do great and still finish in the top four.
Right. Mm-hmm. They don't need to win out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
sucks. I mean, listen to this quick turnaround, right? You got Manchester United against Roma on the 29th, which is this Thursday. And then you have Man U Liverpool on Sunday, the 2nd. And then next Thursday, you have Man U Roma in the second leg of it. I mean, at least the first two games are at home, I guess. But that's a lot of football in a short period of time.
Yeah.
And then they play Villa 3 days later.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You take a look at that schedule and you go.
You've seen the end of the season. Look, you guys got to pull up Manchester United's just games left. So they play Villa, Roma, Leicester, and Fulham in a 9-day period of time. That is absurd. That is a lot of football.
That's what separates the good from the best. Can you juggle multiple competitions?
That's not even multiple competitions. There's only one game in there. It's the Premier League. It's all condensed at the end.
Yeah, but Roma was in that.
Roma was in that for one game. But you got Villa United on the 9th, United and Leicester on the 11th. And then 4 days later, you got United and Fulham.
I would imagine the reshuffling of games is reschedulings of other matches that played.
That's on that. In 1 week's worth, you're going to get 1, 2, 3 Premier League games.
You got to get them in somewhere. I mean, if you're having deep runs in other competitions, you got to put them in somewhere. Could the scheduling have been a little bit better? Yeah, but you guys are always going to play more games if you're in these things.
I know. It's the same amount of games either way, right?
I mean, you look at Arsenal. They got Villarreal. Yeah. On Thursday, Newcastle on Sunday, go back to Villarreal on Thursday. Big Sam and the boys come and visit on Sunday. Then they got Chelsea, Crystal Palace, and Brighton to round out the Premier League season. It's not too much worse.
My future trash take will be West Brom beats Arsenal. Whenever that time comes our way. Yeah, I'm calling it today.
I do think Tottenham should have their I'm having a stroke over here. Who are Newcastle playing this weekend?
Newcastle are playing
Arsenal.
Yeah, that's right. I think Newcastle's got Arteta's number this weekend. I think Arteta's already looking down the road to Europe as well.
And are you switching your trash take then?
He's not getting into Europe either any other way.
Are you switching your trash take? Is that what it is now?
Yeah, might as well, because you tried to steal my first trash take. Do you want this one instead, if you're just going to steal trash
take? Yeah, if you're switching, I think I'm probably going to switch too. I think I'm going to maybe take Newcastle over Arsenal, I think.
Yeah, that's a good call. I'll take West Brom. All right, so we're good there. it makes sense there. So plenty more football. So everything we picked, I would pick the polar opposite of it, because our trash takes are as described. At least we're honest and transparent. Trash is trash.
Unlike the CEOs of all of those top six and other Super League teams.
Yo, did you see Boris Johnson met with Man United's ownership like 3 days before that announcement came out? And now people are calling for Boris Johnson to be investigated and what he knew about it. So that
bring just in all the investigations, man. Anybody who's part of it, make him.
I think really it was the Queen's fault.
I agree. You know what? I don't even need to hear your points. Ben, have points. I think you're onto something. Oh.
It's just a gut feeling.
It was part Philip, of me thinks and it's going to happen. That's why.
Bro, everyone needs a fall guy, but too soon. thanks, Alex, for having feelings.
The 2 weeks of mourning are over. It's open season now. Yeah,
game on. Jesus.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We've crossed the line here.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex. Have some dignity.
All right, Ben. Pull us back and take us away then before it gets too far.
Guys, here's the deal. It's been a lot of hard work's gone into this podcast. And if you've made it this far, we're slightly disappointed in you for not having other things to do. if you could please stop what you're doing. And figure out how to get on the grocery store broadcast and broadcast Swift Kick Podcast for life. Just like that. Nothing else needs to be said. That's all the marketing we need from you. You're in Tesco or you're in ShopRite or you're in Walmart, because most of our shoppers or listeners are probably in Walmart. Sorry if that offends anyone. Just go up to the front, have an announcement, click the pager. Hello, thank you. Listen to Switch Kicks podcast or just Switch Kicks podcast for life. And then mic drop and just leave. All right. You'll get a free pass. No one will care.
Leave because right? You want to, or leave because the police are escorting you out or whatever. No,
you leave on your own accord.
Actually, yes. All right,
Steve, this is not a criminal behavior. You were you're sharing the wealth of knowledge that we bestow upon the people.
You're an enlightening fellow produce shoppers.
Yeah, you're welcome. You see that cabbage over there? Steve Bruce, look him up. You're welcome. Done. All right. And on that note, guys, I hope you have a great night. TTYL. So, cut that for now. Bye. Yeah, bye. She'll be back. Ricky Ricardo. Ricardo. She'll be back. She'll be back. She'll be back. Ricky Ricardo. She'll be back. She'll be back. She'll be back. Ricky Ricardo.